Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Playoff time, Causeway Street, Celtics, all of the fans can say what they want, but this is what it's all about, all right? The Celtics playoffs officially start this weekend, and we finally know who they're going to play. It's the Atlanta Hawks, and we're going to talk all about it and, of course, preview the series the way we do best here on Causeway Street without Sean Dutra, but we'll be all right. We'll survive. I'm Josue Pavone. He is Joel Pavone.
What up?
It's the Pavone brothers this episode, but we got a special guest. We got CLNS Media's Bobby Manning, my guy. Bobby's going to jump in and weigh in on the situation with the Celtics, of course, going up against the Atlanta Hawks. First round matchup. What's going to happen with the Miami Heat up against it right now? One loss away from their season ending, essentially. We'll try to figure out what happened Tuesday night.
They should just like forfeit that game.
What, the second one?
Yeah, they're really gonna beat the Bucks.
I mean, was this part of their tactic to try to get Milwaukee instead of Boston? I mean, that's the only way I could. Well, maybe other things could explain what happened Tuesday night, but man, they looked terrible. They looked awful.
It's just been a down year for them.
It has. And the Celtics right now are thriving. When you look at the way they ended the season, I mean, winning 8 of their last 10 games, and even though that last one, half the roster wasn't active, it was still encouraging, man. I mean, this is the kind of momentum that this team needs, and this is the kind of ending to the regular season, I feel like, that everyone needed to see to kind of, like, take a deep breath and say, oh, all right, well, maybe something will be all right this playoff.
I mean, it was that Muscala magic, I think, that had a lot to do with that game.
Is that what it was? Yeah, I don't think I've seen that since his first game as a member of the Celtics, I know, right? Man. that's the only time he really wowed everyone. Maybe he had a couple of threes like in a game or two after that, but then that was it. Yeah. That was it. It fizzled out big time. But all right, let's bring in Bobby. CLNS Media, Bobby Manning will be covering the series. And as far as the Celtics can go, right? He's been, what's this, your third season now covering the Celtics for CLNS Media. And this one just feels different though, right, Bobby? It feels like this should be the one that ends the way Celtics fans want their playoff run to end, but we'll have to wait and see. Bobby Manning, welcome to Causeway Street.
Oh, it's your debut.
What's going on?
No,
it's not. Oh, his debut. No. He's been on before. You're right.
He was on one of the biggest nights in
Celtics history, right?
Celtics history.
Yeah. Tatum getting drafted. He had the Bobby Bombs that night. How could I forget?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Yes. My bad.
Tatum was my guy that night. I was actually watching the video the other day of us doing that show and just how excited we were to see him get drafted. And even that night, you're wondering, I know we've been talking about Jaylen and the trade rumors from the day he got drafted, but I feel like even Tatum, everyone's like, all right, are they going to keep him? Are they going to do this Davis thing? Is he going to become the guy? I don't think anyone, even me, as high as I was, imagined him becoming as good as he has here. I mean, he's going to finish fourth in MVP from all the ballots out there so far. first 30-point per game season ever in the Celtics history. And as much as we nitpick him, the guy really is amazing. He does it all, both ends of the floor, top 5-10 player at worst. It was just an incredible season. Joel, what's going on? How'd you enjoy it?
I mean, from the jump, right? And probably we can even go as far back as, you know, January of last year, like the complete turnaround that we've seen with this team. And obviously when you add the couple of pieces off the bench, Malcolm Brogdon, a new improved Derek White, like it's been great. And just imagine if you just had one of those guys. Like, I mean, you did have Derek White in the finals last year, but like not this Derek White. If you had this Derek White in the finals last year, it might have been a different outcome.
Yeah, and White, Joe Sway, you know my favorite Celtics ever. Horford.
Al.
Yeah. Horford's right at the top. It's yeah, my homie. A couple other guys. White's joining that list. He is rising up that list fast. Yeah, I mean, his whole demeanor, all the things he does on the floor, how much he helped from the day he arrived, and I know it was rocky that first year, but he's been incredible this year. I mean, everything he does just calms things down, always makes a big play. He's like the release valve. And our guy Amit, producer at CLNS Media, I think a couple months ago said he's the barometer of this team. And he really is. When he's playing well, they almost never lose, it feels like. And he's become a staple in that starting lineup, too. That's definitely been one of my probably three favorite things about this year, too, Joel, is how great he's been.
Yeah, it's definitely a highlight, too.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, yeah, we just talked about, like, the night that Tatum was drafted. I believe this, you know, there was the rumors that Celtics were going after Jimmy Butler, right? That's when Jimmy Butler actually got traded to Minnesota. So, right. You know, maybe if that doesn't happen, who knows, you know, where the Celtics would have, which way they would have gone that night, right?
You know what? I feel like we just covered two of the three biggest headlines of the season. So I'm going to go ahead and say the third. How about what Jaylen Brown did the last 2 weeks of the season?
Oh, yeah.
Last 2-3 weeks of the season. Yeah. With everything that's been going on with the articles that came out from The Ringer and New York Times. And he just took it all out on the court, right? Which is something I think you should do for someone like Jaylen at this stage of his career. A polished veteran who continues to get better, man, from season one. It's not a fluke. I'm not exaggerating. He's improved every single year. This year is no different. But just Bobby, I mean, we can start here. How much is that? How important is that going into the season? And how important is, or how, what's the likelihood of us seeing Jaylen on one of these All NBA teams?
It's looking good so far. I know someone's tracking the ballots on a Google Doc, and quite a few have Jaylen on their teams. I've only seen two so far, I think, that don't have him on there. And quite a few actually have him second team, which surprised me. There's like a lot of good candidates for that forward spot. There's a lot of stars vying for those forward spots, even though they played fewer games. When you think of Kawhi, LeBron, Durant has some crazy numbers despite 47 games played. But the voters aren't falling for it so far, it seems like. They're respecting Jaylen's 68 games, 67, 68. His scoring total is pretty sturdy, which I think helps him quite a bit. And I think a lot of voters, as we see so far, value winning. I don't as much. I do think All-NBA is more about what you did productivity-wise more than what kind of value you presented. I think MVP is more of the winning award. But Jaylen's got both, right? He's got the big numbers. Insanely efficient season. Reading Pina's write-up, Michael Pina's write-up on Jaylen making his second team, and you know he noted just how insane he shot to close the season. I mean, game after game, you saw he was shooting in the high like 60%. And I think only Kevin Durant rivaled him as a mid-range shooter this year. And the analytics don't look great. That was like the only issue I ran into when I was coming up with my team, and I did have him third team. Oh, and again, this, you know, I'm not trying to be the homer here.
Come on. No, I think it's legit, guys. Guys, if you haven't, head to clnsmedia.com and check out Bobby's list, because it's legit. Because like, just exactly for the reason that you mentioned, right? Someone like Jaylen has played 20 more games than Kevin Durant. Like, you know, people can compare numbers all they want, or even legacy votes, but that has to count for something, especially when you think about just the trajectory. I mean, look, the way Durant went from Brooklyn to Phoenix, and just all the hurdles in between. I think that's a prime example of someone who shouldn't make it over Jalen. You know, just off of that alone, of the fact that he's played 20 more games and has kept that consistency throughout, where we just don't know if that would have been the same case for Durant.
Absolutely, and he's going to fit in there somewhere, which is so huge for this franchise when we think about the Supermax that they can offer him after that. I'm sure he's going to take a lot of pride in making that team, becoming one of those top 15 guys, and I think he belongs. I mean, when I'm voting for this team, the one thing, as difficult as it is to try to pick between all the great players in the league, you do try to think about what the story of this season was. Like, these 15 guys were the story of this NBA season, and KD wasn't the story. I mean, he barely played. He was barely out there. I know he's amazing when he played, but it's just not enough. LeBron, the numbers are staggering, and it's going to be really tough to keep LeBron off this list because he's made it every year since 05. And I think he probably will sneak in there. Maybe it's over Randall. Maybe it's over Markkanen, and he makes it alongside Brown. But I kept him off. It just wasn't enough for me. The first half really stunk, even though he was putting up big numbers for that team. So I couldn't put him in there. I showed respect to Markkanen. I thought Markkanen, despite being on a bad team, was just unbelievable. And then Randall, the heavy lifting that guy did this year. I know not everybody loves him. Even Knicks fans are very divided on him. But 77 games, taking as many shots as he did, carrying big defensive assignments, even though he's not the best defender. He did a ton, 10 rebounds a game. The volume of work that guy puts in the minutes, I think he was right up there with Tatum in total minutes too. That was some amazing stuff. So those were my forwards, Brown and Randall on the third team. I had Butler and Markkanen on the second team. And then, of course, I think it's going to be pretty unanimous, Giannis and Tatum on the first team.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong with that. I mean, we here on the Causeway podcast, me, Sway, and Ducha, every year we do our top 25. And not to toot my own horn, but I think I'm the only one that had Brown in the top 15.
Well, Joe Sway, weren't you? We did our preseason predictions. And I think one of yours, Joe Sway, was Brown All-NBA.
Yeah, it was. It was. Yeah, I mean, I don't.
Good take.
Because of the way
that was a bold one too. I don't think many people thought that coming into this year.
Yeah, I mean that one and the Hauser one too. I feel like a lot of people were like, "Oh, Hauser, he might not be there yet. He might be the end of the bench guy still, but he's in this rotation."
People are vowing for him to be in the playoffs rotation.
That was one of my preseason predictions as well. But yeah, I mean, look, I just feel like did I have Jalen? I must have had him at what, 16, 17? You're right though. I didn't have it. It was close.
It was outside. Right. It was like 17, something like that.
But he just deserves it, man. I just think again when you think about availability and the way he's continued to improve year after year, another all-star team he made, should have made last year, but he just didn't have play enough games. So yeah, I think he's in, man. I think that would be that's got to be the way you look at it, because if not, then you might see a LeBron or you might see someone else in there. Hopefully not even Kawhi, right?
No,
I guess the cutoff is Durant, right?
Yeah.
If you put Durant in, then it's like, oh, all bets are off. Like,
yeah.
Jalen's not going to make it in.
Yeah, there's a reason why the NBA put out that like side note, like, oh, by the way, starting next year, you know, you have to play at least 65 games. So voters might be like, maybe I should rethink my voting.
As they should.
Yeah. And that's why it's so important for Brown to make it this year. Is next year is going to be tougher. You got to get that 65 game mark, of course, and it's positionless. And if you're stacking up what a positionless team would look like this year, there's so many guards that Brown might not have made it if it was positionless, and it's going to be hard to compete with the other positions year in and year out. So this is key. I mean, you get that one shot, you make your super max money. Now the Celtics know this summer whether Brown will stick around or not, which is huge clarity for them into the future. And then you feel good about this team running it back for two more years here, the way their contracts are lined up.
I mean, you saw how he was going to work in the summer, right? We saw all the videos, and then mixed in with the rumors of KD, and then he starts off the year on fire, and then again, more KD rumors, and he's just hasn't really missed a beat, really. Yeah. I think if anything, that fuels him, right? And I don't know, the last interview that he had last week with Shams, you know, I think he's more like, it's stuff that he sort of can't control because we don't see his face in these interviews. We just read the words.
Right.
So you don't see his reaction. You don't see his facial expressions. So you take it for what it's worth. And you know, I think that will be put to rest if the Celtics win, right? Mm-hmm. If the Celtics, you know, hoist that elusive 18th championship, then, you know, all bets are off. And I think even if he doesn't make an All-NBA team, I think he's still going to stick around. I don't know. That's just me.
Well, the Celtics got to pay up too, and
oh yeah, they will.
I haven't heard. Yeah, I think they will. I think they will. I haven't heard a ton about where they stand on the Supermax itself, because just because you can offer the Supermax doesn't mean you have to absolutely offer the whole thing.
Yeah,
I think, you know, people don't know, but Rudy, as big of as his contract is, it actually isn't the full Supermax. The Jazz, when they negotiated that, brought it down just a little bit below. So I'm interested to see what the Celtics actually end up offering there, if they can do that, how they maneuver their books here. And he's been amazing. They need him. I think again and again, back to 2021, and I know that team stunk, but they really stunk without Brown, and they probably could have put up more of a fight in that first round series if he was out there. As you guys said, he's gotten better in two seasons since. And I actually see him, like, all the little things we complained about before, like defensive lapses, I think became a problem for him last year, parts of this year. Haven't seen as much of that lately. The turnovers feel like they're down, especially the sloppy ones. You'll still see a travel from time to time, and the dribbling obviously is the weak part of his game. But he's just tightened it up so much. He's found his spot in this offense. I think he takes so much pressure off Tatum. He really doesn't get enough credit for how much stuff he does here. He is critical to their success, because every time, you know, we see Tatum struggle, we see him sometimes get cold, and we see sometimes, I think, tough defenses give him issues. Brown's the guy who really cracks open some of those tough defenses by just being so aggressive.
Do you think the Celtics dodge a bullet by not having to face the Miami Heat? I mean, the Heat losing in their play-in tournament game against the Atlanta Hawks, which locks in Atlanta into the seventh seed to face the Celtics. Out of the two teams, clearly the weaker opponent, if you will. But did the Celtics dodge a bullet? Like, did you get what I mean by that? Like, do you think that it would have been a long series if this is Miami?
I think they did. Just comparing them to the Hawks, I don't think the Hawks match up well with the Celtics at all. And this probably will be a sweep if the Celtics take it seriously. That is, So the Heat wouldn't have gotten swept. And I think they had the possibility of pushing it as many as six with how good they are defensively, with how tough Butler and even their exposure factor we've talked about, gain the game. Now, I don't have a ton of respect for them. I don't think there's any world where they would have beat the Celtics. But the worst thing you could have had round one was a six-game series, never mind a seven if it got to that point. That would have been really terrible, especially with some of the tough opponents following them. That was my biggest worry, Josue, when they got the two seed, was the possibility that Miami could be that first round team, because you just don't want it to be this hard round one. This is how it should be for a team that's the two seed, one seed. It should be Hawks, Celtics, Celtics in four or five, and then you're on to a real series in round two. This is what you work all regular season for, is to get a series like this.
And get some time off in between, and you're not getting beat up by, you know, the Miami Heat, because that's what they do. They beat you up.
You worry about injuries then. You know, exhaustion. I think that East Finals exhausted the Celtics, and this isn't the same Heat team. They're so much worse. Could have been a five-game series. I think that's what me and Josue had when we talked about it. But anyone in their right mind would say Hawks over Heat if you're preferring to get through a team easier.
Do you see any upsets, potential upsets in this first round? I mean, not just across the Eastern Conference, but even out West, maybe did the Grizzlies fall to the Lakers? I mean, that's obviously the one on everyone's mind. You might as well go there. But, like, do you see that happening anywhere else?
That's the big one. I worry about Jaren Jackson and the foul trouble and going up against Anthony Davis, especially in a team in the Lakers that does draw a ton of fouls.
And that fragile ego. Yeah. I don't know, man. Memphis Grizzlies, they showed they're a little insecure, those guys. You know, I felt like that someone took the mask off of them this year, you know?
Ja didn't play great 10 of the season either. Which,
that too.
Yeah, you know, he had that suspension and getting his feet back under him. I still trust him. I still believe in him. But they're missing Brandon Clark, who tore his Achilles. Adams is probably going to miss the whole series. So they're banged up. The Lakers are healthy. The Lakers figured things out a little bit. I thought that was a super sloppy finish to last night's game, of course, with the foul at the end.
Yo, what was that? I saw the highlights the next day. I was like, this thing went into overtime? I was like, what happened?
Oh, yeah. They were all over. So and bad. LeBron had some awful turnovers, really bad passes. They're a sloppy group.
Did you remember the last thing I said to you?
They were tired, too.
So we went live after the Hawks game. I mean, after, well, yeah, the Hawks game.
Yeah.
I was going to say the Heat game. The fuck doesn't matter. and one of the last things I said to Bobby and the guys was, oh man, it looked like he might be out for the game. And then John and Bobby go, who? I go, Schroeder. And they go, ah, oh well. And then he ends up hitting the big three because clearly he came back in the game. And
what a huge shot, too. I've never seen him hit a shot like
never,
that.
Never. Never have I ever.
He hit like three big ones. So I'm like, yo, of course.
So
of course
happy. You would. He posted it on Instagram, like from someone's camera that was like standing in the second row. Right behind, right in that corner. So they got a great shot of him celebrating, doing that. What is that? A guitar riff? Is that? So LeBron's got everyone doing that now. See, this is the shit I'm talking about, Joel. This is the kind of stuff that turns a underwhelming LeBron led team out of nowhere to go to the NBA finals. Kind of stuff. The dancing and everyone loving everyone and you got, celebrating.
You got LeBron pointing at his veins like, oh, Schroeder's ice. No, when has he ever been ice cold? When has he ever had ice in his veins?
Not once have you said that about Dennis.
Never. Never has he ever. Like, come on.
There was one game in Boston against, I think it was the Bucks, but the Bucks were shorthanded or something. He had a huge game and a big shot late in that game too, I remember. But that was it, and he definitely belongs in L.A. more than Boston for sure. That's his team out there, Schroeder. That's where he always belonged. He never should have left there and came to Boston.
Yeah, but that's been work out. That's been the Lakers though over the last like since LeBron has got there. Like it's these games where they don't deserve to win, they win, you know. And now they're in the playoffs, and you know you're gonna get an angry Dylan Brooks. Getting attacked here and there. He's also a guy that gets into foul trouble a lot too. So that series could go either way.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, I think it'll be a 6-7 game series. And I don't know if the Lakers have enough gas. That's the thing. You go through this play and they had to work so hard to even get back into the picture. I worry about their stamina and health and all that. And their depth isn't good. I mean, if they lose LeBron or Davis or even a game, they're screwed. But if they're healthy, if they're rolling, if they're fresh, that's a series they could win. And then, you like them in round two against the Warriors and Kings more than you would against the Suns or Clippers. I think it was huge to win this game rather than that, 8-seed game. So they're in a good spot. This is the matchup I think that they had the most hope in. I mean, this is probably even more of a winnable series than the Kings would have been if they moved up a spot. So I do like them in this series. I do quite a bit. I don't know which way I'm actually picking it yet, but I definitely give the Lakers a chance there. The other upset alert I'd put out there would be, and I don't know if this is an upset, but the Kings can beat the Warriors. Yeah, even be bold. Yeah. They've been better all year. That offense is great. Their coach knows them, and Mike Brown, who was on that Warriors staff a year ago, and Wiggins is just getting out there for the first time. Their depth isn't good. They're terrible on the road. They're going to be on the road for 4 out of 7 games. I'm taking the Kings in that series.
Oh, okay. I would tend to agree if it wasn't for, Klay hitting over 300 threes this year. So, I mean, Klay may be back or as close as
he's been to. He's a swing guy. He really is.
Yeah. Yeah. And because of Wiggins, you don't know what you're going to get from Wiggins. Like, if you get any kind of Klay much better than last season, then that might be the X factor.
That changes things.
Who
do you got for MVP?
Oh, great question. It's so tough this year.
It's tough. It's close.
And there's, you look at the stats, Jokic did have the statistical edge by the end of the year across the board. The analytics still love him over Embiid. I think if you're just looking at the numbers, it's Jokic. But if you look at the teams, what they did, how they stacked up, two different conferences that had varying levels of skills. I do think this was Embiid's year, historic year from the mid-range. Did it in a difficult manner. I think they had a lot of challenges, whether it was Maxey finding a spot, coming off the bench after an injury and then trying to work his way back. Harden was good this year, but not great. They really don't have amazing depth there in terms of stars. So Embiid, he put them on their back every night. I think he played hurt a ton.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the defensive difference. And this is why I'd rather have Embiid than Jokic in general, is how great Embiid is, and they ended up being a top three defense. Denver had a lot of defensive issues this year, and I know the numbers say Jokic is good defensively. I don't see it a ton when I'm watching them. As far as the Bucks go, again, they had so many issues offensively. They won a ton of games without Giannis this year, and I am the biggest Giannis guy ever, but this isn't his year for that award. I think Embiid was just so much more valuable to his team than Giannis was to his this year.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think overall, like,
give it to Embiid.
Milwaukee showed
that scoring title too.
Yeah, right. I mean, Milwaukee overall, they've showed their depth, right, this year more than probably the last couple of years. I think even more so than they did when they won the championship. So you take that factor, and you're right, Bobby. They won a lot of games. They stayed above water when Antetokounmpo was out. Denver similar, but you take Embiid off, or he's out for a few games, and I don't know if the Sixers can survive that. And the Sixers were able to survive, stay, you know, in the top three literally all season because of Embiid. Harden had been out, you know. I think Embiid had played. I'm not looking at his games played, but I think he's been relatively healthy in terms of. You know, I think it's at least 70 games he's played in the last like two seasons. He had a historic season last season, and now this year again another historic season. And I think this is Embiid's award to win. I thought he should have won it last year, to be honest.
It's close, you know, and I looked at the straw poll, of course, Bontemps did before the end of the year. It looks like it could be the closest MVP vote ever. I think it was just 10 points separating Embiid, who led a week or two ago when they released that, and Jokic number two. And Jokic again, he loses. It's not because he wasn't historic himself.
Yeah.
24, yeah, 12, true. And 10. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
The efficiency's insane. And you know what? I know this is going to confuse some people, but I actually voted Jokic first team All-NBA over Embiid just because I think they're two different awards. I think Jokic put up more in the stats department and had a wider range of impact. But I think Embiid was actually more valuable to his team.
That's what it is. That's what some people confuse. When it comes to this award, it's not like the best player in the league,
right,
per se.
Yeah.
It's the most valuable. And like, you know, who's more valuable to their team? And out of the three we just mentioned, I think we tend to agree. It's Embiid. And he's had that a good push the last like week or two of the regular season. Again, it's a regular season award. If you would have asked me like a month and a half ago, I probably would have said, no, Jokic should win his third straight.
Right.
But then I heard DeMarcus Cousins say this the other day, like, oh, if he wins his third straight, then you start talking about, like, is he like one of the greatest of all time? I'm like, but again,
that's stupid.
That's a dumb argument. You know? Yeah, exactly. So it's like no one's saying that. We're just talking about like who's more valuable.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's what for it comes down to.
Three seasons in a row.
Yeah, for three. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. Like when Karl Malone won it over Michael Jordan, was he better than Michael Jordan? No. That's just ridiculous. Like, you know what I mean? So it is what it is.
All right. He's Bobby Manning, CLNS Media, Boston Sports Journal. Real quick, Bobby, I know you got the Celtics winning this, but how does this thing play out? Yeah, you say it should be a short series, but realistically, how do you think this thing plays out?
I'm gonna hold you to it too.
You know, I'm gonna go sweep. Yeah. I am. I think the Celtics will take it seriously. I think they're healthy, which helps. And I don't think the Hawks have quite enough depth. If it goes five, it won't stun me. There are a few things about the Hawks that intrigue me. Their guards are super quick and shifty. I think if Smart's hobbled at all, that's going to be a little bit of a problem. But I don't know if Atlanta can defend this offense enough. And there'll be some late game situations that'll be interesting too. And I know that's actually what the Celtics practice on Tuesday. They need to be sharp in those spots because there were a few games late this year where they stumbled in final second situations. I think of that Utah game and some others where they could maybe drop a game in this series. And as we talked about last night, Josue, the most concerning thing above all is them taking this one seriously. If they go into this thinking that they're just going to roll, that's where the Hawks can be a little bit dangerous. Because this isn't a good team, but this isn't a horrible team either.
Yeah,
if you let them stick around in a game, they could win it. Young is a player you fear in a close game late, I would say. And their big men really do stack up. Capella's been awesome. Okongwu is a player I love. And Jalen Johnson was amazing.
Okongwu was a beast.
Against the Heat, man.
He was. He really was. No, I mean, that's been the one knock on this team this year, right? The Celtics, where they play down to their competition, or they're like, they're already thinking about the next game, you know, i.e. Houston.
Maybe I should go five. Should I go five?
I'm not trying to make you change your take, Bob. I'm just saying that, like, that, like, if they learn from anything this year is don't take your opponent lightly, right? Despite the Hawks literally being an average team, they're going to come out and they're going to want to, you know, score points on you, because that's what they do. Because defense is not their strong suit when it comes to the Hawks, right? So, yeah, I tend to agree. I think it should be a sweep. If it goes five, it's not the worst thing in the world, but, and I think they would appreciate the rest while they wait upon the second round.
Right.
Similar to what happened last year.
Joel, there's something, and yeah, I love this team. I love the way they close the year. I love that they're healthy. But there is something about this team that makes me a little nervous. I don't know if it's all the threes.
Okay.
I don't know if it's some of these bad losses late in the year. Losing the one seed is something that hurt them as well. Am I wrong? Like, there's something about this team that makes me a little nervous. I don't know what it is going into the playoffs here, because the stakes are so high, and it really is title or bust, obviously.
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with what you said about losing the first seed. Like, if they had the number one seed, I think you wouldn't be as worried for those that have some sort of concern. But I think even if the threes don't fall in this series, like, the Hawks just don't have enough to counter the depth, I think, at least.
Right. Well, it all goes down Saturday at TD Garden. Game one, Celtics versus the Hawks, 3:30 Eastern Standard Time, and Bobby and I will be in the building. For CLNS Media, he is Bobby Manning, also writer for Boston Sports Journal, Celtics blog, and the host of Dome Theory. Follow him on Twitter at RealBobManning. Bobby, this was fun, man. We'll get you back on here for sure.
Yeah, man. It's been too long. I forgot. That's how long it's been.
Yeah, seriously. Tatum's career.
I know, right?
That's how long it's been.
The beginning, man, of Tatum's career. Yeah.
When
he was 19.
Yeah. Well, so was Bobby, actually. So I guess that makes sense. I mean, Bobby, you had to go back to school, finish up and everything, I guess. But he's been killing it ever since.
Yeah, Bobby. We appreciate you stopping by, man. And we should check in, you know, at some point the playoffs end.
It's going to be a wild ride. We'll do it. We'll do it really soon, Bobby. Appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
I'm still not over that shit, though. I'm not over what happened Tuesday.
You talk about the Lakers, or we talk about Miami? Come on.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. One of those teams cost me a trip to Miami, and it wasn't the fucking Lakers.
I mean, all the Southeast media and they're canceling Miami reservations. Like, jeez, that sucks, man. It's fucking... I don't know, man. It's just, I don't think Spoelstra, I feel like all season he's just like, maybe this is just not the year. You know, I don't know. It's just like.
Should have got something out of these guys, though. I mean, at the end of the day, how many open shots you going to miss, or how many times you going to go to the hoop and just blow these layups, man? Bam Adebayo had like three opportunities on the same play. It was just like.
Tyler Hero had a fucking.
Lay it in.
Tyler Hero had a strip with like a minute and a half left. And the size of pop at three. Like, he had a layup.
Oh,
like,
he had an opening
just to start. Not going to stop here and talk pop this three because the three ball has been so good for us tonight, right?
I was screaming at my television. Screaming at my television. I was so mad.
You would have thought the Celtics lost, huh?
I do these hits for, it was like ESPN Maine. Up in Maine. And I'm talking to them. They're like, how's your week going? You know, small talking on stuff. I'm like, that is what it is. You know, just hanging in there. It's like, oh, so how's everything? Like, what have you been up to? I was like, oh, well, besides rooting for the Miami Heat, I mean, not much outside of researching and just getting ready for the postseason. None of these guys got it. I said, like, you rooting for the Miami Heat? I was like, yeah, man. A 4-day trip to Miami would have been nice. And they all started laughing. I was like, finally figured it out. I'm like, but I guess that's out the window now. But besides that, man, like, this thing is done, right? Yeah, like, you gotta rip this core apart. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Kyle Lowry played the best game you're gonna see all year, but like,
they've been held up with tape since the bubble. Let's be honest.
They thought that these guys, like, what was his name? Gabe Vincent was gonna have, like, he had this huge ceiling above him. Duncan Robinson, remember they signed him to that crazy deal?
Bro,
to
keep him around? He doesn't even play. And another thing you did too was
fucking Khalid Martin playing.
You signed a 35-year-old Kyle Lowry over a 35-year-old Goran Dragic. that's what you did. The sign and trade. You're like, oh yeah, we'll take an older point guard for another. Like, realistically, like, yeah, he had a great game on Tuesday, but like, he's been awful for them. Yeah. For the most part. I don't know. That's just, you're right. It's time to start from scratch. you know, at some point, Jimmy's going to be like, all right, what are we doing here? Because,
right.
you know, I play a certain amount of games every year, and I expect fucking, you know, effort at least. And you're not seeing that.
They're screwed. Good luck with Chicago.
I know, right?
Jeez.
If I was them, I just wouldn't even win. I'm like, nah, fuck it. I'm not going to. We should just start from scratch, fucking start our summer early.
Just quit, just forfeit.
I mean,
that'd be the craziest thing that ever happened in sports.
Yeah.
One of, arguably, the craziest thing
that ever happened. I mean, not forfeit. Like, dude, pull off what Dallas did.
What was that? Why did they do that? Did they change their mind in the middle of the game?
They're like, we weren't supposed to win this game. Luca. Yeah. I'm going to need you to go in the locker room and change. You're done for the game, you know? And then afterwards, he's just like, yeah, you know, I didn't like what they, you know, it's like, okay. Like, what did you, like, what did you expect there? And then he just had nothing but glowing things to say about how his team misses Brunson. It's like, yeah, little too late there for you to tell management, like, what the fuck? And I don't know. That's another shipwreck of a team because no guarantee that Kyrie's coming back. So, I don't know. It's weird. Both teams coming off, conference finals appearances, and one's out the playoffs and another one might as well be out the playoffs.
All right, let's take our trip around the NBA with Joel's, in case you missed it. John's not here. John's speaking of Florida. At least someone's enjoying
Florida right now. Somebody's enjoying the Florida, son.
Well, right now it's Sean. I'm sure you'll get his enthusiastic green goggle takes when he gets back. But in the meantime, it's us. We're going to do In Case You Missed It and wrap this thing up the way we wrap up every single episode here on Causeway Street.
In case you missed it.
In case you missed it.
In case you missed it.
What we miss?
So, NBA.com released their best-selling NBA jerseys.
Oh, it's standing number one?
Close. Number three.
Number three?
Number three.
Hold on, let me guess what's number one.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Luka.
No, I would have thought. That's a great guess. LeBron James. Oh. Your favorite.
Cool.
Number two, Steph.
I should have guessed Steph.
And then three, Tatum. Over Antetokounmpo, who's at four.
Who?
Antetokounmpo. Jason got an over Antetokounmpo. Oh, Jason's at three, and Antetokounmpo's at four. Luka's at five.
All the Greek NBA fans are like, yeah, we got them all.
No, right. We're good.
It's been about 10 years now. We good. We got them all. We got enough.
Luka's at five. Guess who cracked the top 15?
Ja Morant. No, I'm just kidding.
Morant landed number eight.
Wait, who cracked the top 15?
Who cracked the top 15?
Oh, I thought you meant like who
Oh, went below? No, no, no. Yeah.
Jaylen Brown.
Yep, number 14.
That's half our Patreon. every winner we had is asked for Jaylen Brown.
Just made it above who? Jordan Poole at 15. Go figure.
Wow.
Go figure.
Video of you getting punched in the face comes out and your jersey.
It's just like, oh, gotta get that jersey.
Through the roof, yeah. I support Jordan.
I support Jack.
You know, Draymond shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. It's not okay.
Half the Bay was like, yeah, man, he was tripping up in here. You know how they talk over there.
It was on call for.
It was on call for.
Next time we see him, yo, he's gonna get it, little Mark ass trick.
He's a Mark ass.
KD got number I'm six.
Speak to Draymond about that.
KD got number six.
Someone in the Bay is cringing right now.
I know, right? Like, yo, what?
Who told you we talk like that?
KD got number six. Number seven was Booker, and I'm kind of surprised that Kyrie cracked the top 10 at number 10. So,
yeah, but sometimes controversy sells, right? I mean,
yeah, but like, does that mean both jerseys polarizing. Sold or which one sold? Over? I don't know. It shows him in the Dallas one, but I don't know if that's
just you think weird. That bumped his sales up?
Yeah, that or, you know, or they're just counting one over the other.
Yeah.
That'd be weird if they're like, you know, only, what, 2 months or less than 2 months. And they're like, yeah, we're going to just count the Dallas Maverick sales. And so, yeah. So other than the jerseys, the top selling jerseys, NBA.com talked about top-selling NBA merchandise.
What else do you guys got? this is what you guys be doing with your research?
So, yeah, just overall NBA merchandise, right? The top, you know, out of all the teams in the league. So guess who's number one? Which team?
What, just for marketing overall?
Yeah. Like the top-selling NBA merchandise, like all together, not just jerseys, Warriors. But everything. No, not awards. Like,
no, Warriors.
Oh, gotcha. No. Warriors number two.
Oh, no. Lakers stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Top one. The top selling NBA merchandise on NBA.com, the Lakers.
That's so obnoxious. I love it.
Number three, take a guess.
Celtics.
Yeah. They got it. They cracked the top three.
You can't watch a Celtics game that's on the road without seeing just at least a dozen jerseys.
Yo, they travel.
Yeah, they travel well.
And the last few years has been more.
You know what? I was just going to say this year is by far the most. You know why? Because of that trip to the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
I completely overlooked the fact that people who, let's say, Susie in freaking Phoenix, diehard Celtics fan, and she's like, man, my team made the finals. You know what? When they come to town next year, I gotta go see them. I gotta show my support. Like, those are the ones, right? Yeah. People who only get that one chance, maybe two opportunities a year, and they live far away from Boston, and they're like, man, I wanna see my boys.
Yeah, and I think a lot of fans abroad, too. They come into the States, and they're like, whatever city they happen to be in, oh, the Celtics are playing? Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna go, you know, watch the Celtics, support the Celtics. Yeah. And you hear them, like, let's go South. Like, it's insane.
Right. And for those teams that are at the, like, bottom of the barrel, their standings or whatever, those are the ones I feel like their ticket prices may go up a little bit when the Celtics are in town. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
those are the ones
that they
capitalize off of that because they're like, man, everyone wants to go to this game, you know? Yeah, so let's jack the price up. So.
Yeah, i.e. Houston.
Yes, yo, for real. Pretty much.
And they were disappointed.
Like, yo, this glorified G League team. What the heck?
Like, what the hell just happened?
We didn't pay to see y'all. No, I'm just kidding.
So, yeah, no, Celtics, no, top three NBA merchandise. They got the two of the top 15 selling jerseys in Tatum and Brown. That's pretty good. And then what rounds off the top five would be Phoenix at number four and the Bucks at number five. So
they're stars, man. Come on, Jalen. You don't want to leave this. This could be all yours. New dynasty. If you guys get the job done, of course.
It could be all yours.
Championship changes things, man.
You're right.
It really does.
It really puts a perspective on things.
Shit, they made the finals and things are already changing, you know?
No, and that and because of we've had this conversation, right? Like, no other current Celtic, maybe Marcus Smart, has had to adjust season by season.
Yeah.
More than
Marcus is a great example.
Yeah. More than Jalen Brown. Like I said, Marcus Smart, because he's the longest tenured Celtic right now, but like Jalen Brown, I've done every fucking thing you've asked me to do. You know what I'm saying? And like, I've never complained about it, you know? So it's like treat him well and he'll appreciate it because he'll see how far he's come. So yeah.
But besides the fact that Tatum is the first Celtic in franchise history to average 30 points per game for the season, this is 30.1 to be exact, he also led the league. And total points scored at 2,225, with Embiid coming in second with just over 2,100 points. So that's a wide margin, right? And we can't also forget the fact that Jaylen Brown finished top 10 overall in scoring with 26.6 per game. So another reason why he should make All-NBA. I mean, when's the last time any two Celtics teammates finishing in the top 10 in scoring? Like, you know, that's impressive.
All right, in case you missed it, Michael Jordan's, quote, last dance sneakers that he wore in game two of the NBA Finals in 1998.
Oh. Wow.
Sold a record $2.2 million at an auction.
Game worn.
Game worn.
Wow.
Game worn. And they're signed. Each shoe is signed individually. $2.2 million, the most ever in terms auctions? Of like,
wait,
shoes in general.
Oh, in terms of like, because that's technically a shoe sale.
So yes.
Like the biggest, largest shoe
sale. The largest like sneaker sale record ever. $2.2 million.
Is it the same guy who bought that Wu-Tang album back in the day?
yeah, what is that? Like some like investor dude, right?
Didn't he sell it? Or he had to like give it up and just like, yo, I can't pay this off, bro.
Yo, Wu-Tang is pissed. Especially fucking,
oh, there's a whole thing about
There's a documentary about it because he's just like, yo, like, sell it back to us.
Yeah.
And he won't do it. He's a prick. Yeah, yeah. Who the fuck? Ghostface. Ghostface is more vocal about it than anybody else.
Really?
Yeah. You don't say. So, yeah.
I see Ghostface as being abrasive.
Yeah, right? So, yeah, I don't know. Like, when you buy a pair of shoes for over $2.2 million, where do you put them? How do you like preserve that?
That's wild.
Yeah, right. You'll never wear them. That'd just be silliness. But I think that's quite a purchase. So yeah, obviously this is days old, and you know, Minnesota obviously didn't win the game against the Lakers. But what do you think about this whole Gobert thing? Like you think if he was, I don't know, a bigger quote star, like would he even gotten suspended? Because I mean, that was fucked up what he did. let's start there.
I think it's, yeah, no, I mean,
the suspension is warranted, but like, I don't
know.
Yeah,
look, I think, yeah, it's just one of those things where I just feel like, not that there's more to this, but like, okay, put it this way, like, right after it happens, who was that? Was that Naz Reid? No, who was it?
No.
I feel like everyone went towards him as if to say, like, you know what, man? No, stop him because
yeah.
He's the one that crossed the line. And maybe that's just the reflex of teammates being like, you're the one that threw the punch.
Yeah.
But I just felt like people were just like, nah, Gobert. Like, Prince.
Yeah.
Terry on Prince. He gets in his face.
Yeah. And Rudy's backing up, like, let's go, I'll take you all on. Type of like attitude. I'm like, yo, really? This dude right now is about to fight the whole team?
And then I'm
thinking, on national TV?
I'm like, oh, okay. So is this one of those, like, you've been the bad guy all year long and everyone just had it up until this point, or you cross the line and everyone's just like, okay, I've had it with this dude all at once?
Yeah.
I'm exaggerating a bit. It wasn't the entire team, but like there were certain players that were just like, yo, no. I think I draw the line.
Like, it looked like he was ready to take on whoever other than, you know, the duty punch, but like, I don't know. That's just a weird situation. Right before the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, if they get into the playoffs.
Still be there, but I mean, yeah. You can't trace one without another team agreeing to it. So
yeah,
and then Gobert's kind of a hard sell right now. So I don't know how that works.
Utah's like, ding. So I have to figure that shit out.
And yes, they're gonna still take all of those draft picks that you sent them. So I don't know. Choose wisely.
Seriously,
as the great Danny Ainge once said. I've never been a big fan of combining trades, but you know what I mean? Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, it's like, you don't want to just go ahead and trade him after one season because you're like, man, you gave up all these assets to get him. And it's like, man, you feel like you're combining, you know, assets of two different trades for one big, you know what I mean? It's like, man, like, we're really behind it here. But I don't know. This might be worth it. If you can find someone, if you can maybe get some of those draft picks back, maybe not from Utah, but
from somewhere else. Yeah.
Maybe. It might be worth it. It might be worth it because then you can get out of that contract, try to somewhat hit the reset button and have some assets to show for it. Whereas maybe if you go further down this road, Gobert does something worse happens, and then all of a sudden it's just like, man, no one wants anything to do with this guy.
Yeah.
You're stuck with him for the next, you know, for the rest of that contract that just started. So
like even the brief time that Rudy played with Kat, people were just like, This ain't gonna work.
Yeah. Look terrible. Yeah, that's a great point.
So
they both succeeded individually though.
Yeah.
On the floor together.
Yeah.
Their numbers together were awful. The team plus minus was terrible when they're on the floor together.
So there was never any time to see if that would actually gel.
There really fucking wasn't.
And then so Kat comes back, and then this full disclosure, happens.
Joel's laughing because he knows why I said that. But Kat was my first pick, all right, in my fantasy draft. Yeah, I know. But you know, when you get this ninth pick,
I was about to say,
sometimes it gets a little interesting. You know. All right, you try to go big because you know you're gonna go ahead, or at least me, you're gonna go ahead and draft like seven guards. So you want to get the center and you know that position out of the way. And I went with Kat. Okay.
But you got to preface that you had the what, eighth pick?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Anywho. It's. He was primed to have a good season.
Never again.
Right? Yeah.
I'll never. Yeah. Unless your name is Joel Embiid, you don't draft bigs anymore, man. Yeah. I'm telling you. Yo, they're going to be obsolete. Okay. Yeah. It's like productive big men in the NBA are going to be a thing of the past soon.
Yeah.
Because if you can't shoot, you don't make it in the league. And if you do it to a certain extent, just good enough, you're coming off the bench. Like you have to be you have to be above and beyond one of the best to be like a superstar, perennial all-star center. There's like three, you know?
Yeah.
Fuck.
That's why Joel Embiid is so valuable, right? We're talking about him being valuable.
Seriously.
To someone that can, you know.
And he moves like a wing.
Yeah.
He can dribble. He can pass. He can shoot the three. Like, that's...
Pull up on you and beat you off the dribble.
Yeah. He's
this guy's a freak.
He's a freak. Guy's a freak. Yeah, so then... And then you got the other part of this, right? We're going back to Minnesota's. Yo, by the way, yo, what a game the waves for Conley, right? Conley was just going off.
I know, man.
Conley was loving himself last night.
I love me some Conley.
Yo, man. He's like, I still got it, right? I still got it. Like, every time he, like, you know, he had like seven or eight threes. He's like
the only one left. Remember that?
From the Grizzlies team? Yeah. The grit and balls? Grizzlies? Or the, no. No, that was KG's line.
It rhymes, right? Something grit.
Yeah.
Wit and grit.
Something like that.
Close enough.
Yeah. that was a KG line.
The banner, his uniform is collecting dust right now. Memphis is just like, yeah, we have it ready, but he keeps playing.
And he's still playing, guys. Still productive.
Still ball.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so back to Minnesota, right? The Jaden McDaniels factor, right? Fucking fracturing or breaking his hand for punching the wall.
Oh, like, yeah.
It's like, yo, and they still had the opportunity to beat the fucking Lakers, dude. Oh my God, dude. Don't get me. Like, you're heated about the Miami Heat. I'm heated with the Timberwolves. I didn't think they were going to win at all, like, before the game started. And, you know, you got the talking heads like, oh, they're going to blow them out by 30 because they're missing, you know, key pieces, especially in the inside. But then you're watching the game. Well, at least when I'm watching this game, and I'm just like, yo, they could pull this off. Like, even when you know, the Lakers were making their run in the second half, and I was like, Conley was just like, whap, another three. Whap, whap, another three. And I'm like, oh, Conley's coming here. He's the real deal.
Yeah, he got the kid. He had that Kyle Lowry in him.
Yeah, right. Just so.
It's like that. It's like that flashes of like, yo, this could be the end.
Yeah.
I got to do something. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe, I mean, right.
I mean, that game's always there. It's just hard to have it when you've just been battling injuries for the last 4 or 5 plus years, you know? That's just been the case.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is, but look, can the Lakers fuck around and make the finals? I feel like they can.
When Bobby was talking about their potential route, they couldn't have asked for a better route.
That's what I mean.
And I'm saying, like, if things...
Something about this win, something about it is screaming to me, this is the basketball guy that, giving you a little hint as to, you know, like, that's how close the Minnesota Timberwolves were to ending this whole thing from happening, but... Oh, what's happening? You know what I mean? It's like, I get that feeling right now.
With the West being so wide open this year?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, if this is the year that, like, they can pull it off?
Since as long as I can remember, I've never seen a West Conference.
Yeah, no. It's been a minute.
It's been a long time.
It's been a minute. Like, usually...
Even those Dallas teams, the San Antonio dynasty, the first, second, whichever one you want to refer to, the Lakers, Kobe's last, you know, couple of championships.
Earlier in the 90s.
Utah, well, yeah, 90s.
Yeah, if you want to go further, right? But yeah, no.
Duncan's first era, like...
It's usually like one or two, three... Maybe four teams.
And then there's the teams that didn't even get there.
Yeah.
You got the Sacramentos and the Toronto, I mean, and the Portland Trailblazers and the, what's another team I'm forgetting?
Phoenix.
Different versions of Phoenix, right? Yeah. I mean, one of them got there to the finals.
Like, but two finals appearances in 30 years.
Phoenix is a great example.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of a sudden, I mean, yeah, sure, Phoenix is still in the mix now, but you just see this path for a team like the Lakers to just say, oh, shit, like, They got the top tier talent in Anthony Davis and LeBron James. They haven't had a whole lot of stability, but if you get it now, you might have a shot.
Somewhat healthy, right? So I think for the most part, like, there hasn't been a season where health plays a big role with like four or five different teams.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, overall, like, if Phoenix is healthy, they got a shot.
Yeah.
If the Warriors are healthy, they got a shot. Denver, because I think they're the team that's had the outside of Golden State, like that core for how many years now, and they stay healthy. Well, you know, usually what happens down in a playoff series for the last few years.
Clippers too.
Yeah. Like, Westbrook is figuring it out all of a sudden. Yeah. You know, as a starter again. So, yeah, I think it's wide open. There's no guarantee one or two teams that is going to come out the West. It's like literally like five or six teams that can come out the West, and dare I say the Lakers are one of them. Fuck. God damn it, Bobby.
Just never ends, huh?
I know, right?
So, just when you think, you know, I know. Fucking Lake Show.
Just when you think things are all done and, you know, for the blue and purple,
they win their fucking playing game and face a, you know, a uncertain Memphis team that, fuck, like, they make it to the second round, that's all bets are off to me, I think. I don't know.
Fuck. These guys are fragile, man. Jesus. I'm telling you, they show the true colors. Dylan Brooks? Come on, man.
Yeah, man.
He's
not.
Cat's out the bag now.
He's not the one.
It's like, come on, man. He should have just kept the mysterious thing. Like, now he's all like, what was he wearing the other night?
He looked like Snoop Dogg on the Dogfather album cover.
30 years ago.
Jesus. Yeah, that's a and he's like, you know, dancing and shit down the hall and whatnot. I'm just like, what are we doing
here? Clowns, man.
What are we doing here? Like, take yourself seriously so other people will take you guys seriously.
Just turn into a clown show, man. Not impressed.
All right. That's going to do it for this NBA playoffs edition of In Case You Missed
It. Hopefully they prove me wrong. I mean, look, this is going to be a very entertaining postseason. So, you know, like I said, you're at the top. Strap in, everybody. Everyone get ready for a wild ride. Yeah. Not just following your Celtics, but just across the league.
Yeah, because even if the upsets, quote, do happen, are they really upsets?
Yeah.
Like, we didn't talk about the Knicks and Cavaliers. Everybody's looking forward to that series big time. So, what could have been, you know?
Yeah. But hey, Celtics got a pretty good route, or at least the beginning of it, against the Atlanta Hawks, which kicks off this weekend at TD Garden. We've got plenty of reaction in next week's episode. Sean will be back. We'll see what else the NBA has in store for us, man, because it was a quiet but not so quiet week in the NBA, I feel like. I mean, considering the play-in tournament games and the extracurricular activity going on.
I mean, KG was like, I'm loving it. You know, everyone's getting on.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, Kevin, settle down.
He's like, I want to suit up again. It's like, all right. But yeah, so yeah.
Those are teammates fighting each other.
Kevin. Right, yeah, I know, right. Like, that's
not a good thing.
That's not good. And that's your former team.
Yeah. He's like, this is what the NBA's been missing. We're like,
He's like, see, if they let me be a part owner of the squad, that wouldn't happen on my watch.
Yeah, I feel like that was the, like, it had those undertones. Sorry.
Like, Cat knows I was his OG when he fucking came into the league.
About time I show some motherfucking balls. Like, all right.
All right, KG, that's enough.
I don't think that's what they're going for.
Check us out on all social media platforms at Causeway Street. Hit up causewaystreet.com for your Celtics playoff news and opinions. Can't say rumors, because this time of the year, when you see people writing about sources and potential trades, it's like, what are we doing? It's the postseason. Yeah. Like, relax. Yeah. I know you're trying to get the clicks, but we don't do this here, right? Yeah. We don't do that here.
Talk to us in July.
Talk to us, Talk to us after the NBA Finals. All right? And also
that week, too. Like, that week is when all the fucking rumors
start
about.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, you know.
Draft picks getting traded and all that
stuff. A former All-Star wants to come to, like, no, shut up. Let's let the playoffs happen and let the chips fall where they may. All right? Subscribe to our Patreon. That's patreon.com/causeway. That's Causeway After Hours. All right? Jersey giveaway, 101 with Sway podcast.
Yes, we got season 3 coming out next week, guys. So stay tuned, man. I'm really excited about this. Very special guest.
So yeah, good things coming. You know, hopefully this is a lengthy playoff run. There's gonna be plenty to talk about. I think the Celtics should stay focused again. If they've learned anything from losing to Houston, Orlando 3 times, you know, there's a few others. Right? Indiana. There were some tough losses. Oh, yeah. Some tough losses where you look at it like the Celtics finished 1 game out of first place.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So if that doesn't wake them up, then it's going to be a tough month, I guess, or so. So, all right. So we shall see. We shall see. Sway will be on the road for, you know, down in Atlanta. He's excited. No, he's not. Yes, he is. He's excited.
But there's a lot of worse cities across the U.S. than Atlanta.
Yeah.
So I'll be all right.
Yeah, you'll be good. Plus, if things go the way they're supposed to go, there's another city in there that you're not that great. The games are great, but the city overall is a little, you've told me it's a little on the boring side.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I won't get too ahead of myself here, So,
the Midwest.
All right, yo, shout out to Bobby again for coming through.
Yeah, what's up, Bobby?
We'll see you on the flip side. Dutra, I know you're listening, so enjoy this. And until next time, we out.